press the red button. We're all set, and okay. It's all yours.
Okay, so I'm going to today try to just, like, really, like, not, I mean, if I say Hebrew words or I say, like, things that are not that, I just want to be myself. That's all I'm saying.
Who else okay. could you be?
Some, again, when this guy comes into my face over
what
here.
What are you talking about, Ryan?
This guy over here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I jump into, like, performance, performance mode.
But you're talking to me. You're not talking to him. You're talking to me.
Right? I know, but I don't usually talk to you when you have those things on your head.
Well, I can
take
them off.
No, you don't have to. I'm just trying to say, like.
I can take them off.
Okay, look,
talk
I mean,
to
I,
me.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
All right,
okay?
So
how about like this? I mean, how about if you talk back, but we cut you out?
Well, because then I have to do double cuts because it bleeds over into your vocal. And
oh, got it.
It's. Okay. I don't want to take the chance on walking on something that you might really make a great point on.
Okay, great. Fine. Okay. Hey, let's do it.
Yeah. So go ahead and we're rolling on your cue. So whenever you're comfortable.
Okay, so let's start.
Give me 20 seconds. I need a sheet because I got to remember my marks. All right. 16 again. Okay, ready to go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our next step of the journey. I'm sorry. Hi, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to our next step of the journey towards acquiring an Ayin Tova, a good eye. Last time we explained how Ayin Tova is a lot more than just being positive versus being negative. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us that Ayin Tova, a good eye, and Ayin Ra, an evil eye, are actually two pathways to life. They aren't simply character traits or personality traits that a person has, but they are actually a pathway, a lifestyle, the way a person lives. A lifestyle means that anything and everything, or lifestyle means that it's a lens, the filter through which we live life. So for some, or no, what the Mishnah is teaching us over here is, okay. Last time we explained how the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us that Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra aren't simply character traits that you're either born or nurtured to have, but are that you're either born with or nurtured to acquire, but Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra are actually the pathway, the lifestyle, the approach that we have to our lives. And when it's an approach, it's up to us to decide which approach we choose. Do we choose the life of Ayin Tova or do we choose the life of Ayin Ra? It takes us out of being stuck in this in the web of character traits and opens up for us the possibility of living our life in the direction of Ayin Tova. This time, I'd like to explain what the life of Ayin Tova looks like and what the life of Ayin Ra looks like. What does it mean to live with a good eye and what does it mean to live with an evil eye? To explain this, we need to define what the words Tov, good, and Ra, evil, mean. We're so accustomed to defining Tov, good, we're so accustomed to defining good and evil in terms of right and wrong, or true and false. Right and wrong, true and false, are very static definitions. Either you are right, or you're not right. Either you are wrong, or you're not wrong. It's something that's very dead in its meaning. Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch, however, explains to us, defines Tov and Ra very differently. Tov isn't simply something that's good or right, and Ra is evil and wrong. Tov, he explains to mean abundance. Abundance meaning constantly flowing with more and more possibilities. Whereas Ra means constraint, restriction. Something is narrow and limited. That's the difference between Tov and Ra. Tov means that the world that we find ourselves in. I'm sorry. Tov means that there is an abundance of bounty and blessing in this world, versus Ra means, I'm sorry, I jumped a little bit over here. So the Rabbi Yerucham explains that Tov means unending. I'm using different words. It's become a little confusing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think it's confusing at all. I think you have to use different words to get the full understanding of what it is you're trying to explain.
Okay. But I'm good. Okay.
As long as it's tracking with your thought, that's the main thing.
Okay. So Rabbi Yerucham is explaining that Tov means constant, unending flow of goodness and bounty in the world, and Ra means when those forces, that flow is constrained or restricted. It's confined, it's limited. This definition of Tov versus Ra this definition of Tov versus Ra opens up for us pathways of opportunity, of understanding, meaning that when Tov is good and right and Ra is wrong, I'm sorry, and Ra is evil and wrong, and Ra is bad and wrong, so either you're good or you're bad. But when Tov means unending, constant flow of goodness, that there's more and more opportunities or possibilities out there, versus Ra meaning that we are in a state of constraint and restriction, we now have definitions that we can work with. It isn't just that we find ourselves in this category versus this category. We can now think to ourselves, how could I utilize or how could I live with Tov in my life versus when am I actually living with Ra in my life? It's a great opportunity for us to now like to use these definitions and to see, how could I apply them to my life? How could I grow through them, really? And how could I grow through them? Because now that I understand that Tov means something that's unending, that I'm seeing more and more and more, I can think to myself, is that the way that I'm seeing life? Is that the life that I'm living? Am I living a life that I wake up in the morning and I see the opportunities that have been presented to me? Or do I see a life that's very constrained, narrow, constricted, confined to the box that I find myself in? I know I'm speaking a bit vague right now, where we'll develop this a little further. But the point is that according to Rabbi Yerucham, Tov is a characteristic and Ra is a characteristic. It's not a fact like we would normally assume. Has this been too much word salad? Okay, great. Okay, so now what we have so far is that Tov is the characteristic of something that is unending, that I'm constantly seeing more of, that more is presenting itself. You know, Tov is the characteristic of something that's not limited, but is constantly flowing and expressing more and more and more. Whereas Ra is something that's constricted, is confined. It's you see what you get approach. Now, when we apply that back to Ayin Tova, and again, I sort of brought in Ayin Tova already because I said like what you see. You know, I'm wondering if I should just like take a step back and just simply say the definition, give the definitions, and then apply it to Ayin Tova.
Well, you've dealt with Ayin Tova. You've explained it. Now bring the two together.
Okay, I could. But again, I was trying to see that Ayin Tova are two different pathways in life, two different approaches to life, and then define what the word Tov means versus the word Ra, and I'll put it back into Ayin Tova versus Ayin Ra.
That's fine. Okay. That's what you have to do now is how do they
Okay, great.
How do they work in your life?
Okay, great. So now with these definitions, with these definitions of tov and ra, let's now apply it back to ayin tova versus ayin ra, a good eye versus an evil eye. According to Rabbi Yerucham, a good eye would mean that the way that I view life, the way that I see life, the lens through which I take in life is a lens of possibility. It means that although I may be in whatever situation I find myself in, and on paper it may seem like I'm stuck, Ayin Tova means that I'm living a life or a living an approach to life of expansiveness. That although I appear to be in this box with these restrictions, there's so much more to be found inside of the situation that I am in. Ayin Ra tells us, or the Ayin Ra approach to life is to say that whatever box I find myself in is where I am, stuck within that box. A classic example, which many of you may relate to, is mushulachim, tzedakah collectors coming to our homes to raise funds. These are people that are coming without much notice. We're not prepared we're not necessarily prepared to give a sizable donation. And all of a sudden, someone shows up at our door. So we greet them. We greet them respectfully, and we hear out their cause, you know, what they're collecting for, and we try our best to, although we hadn't budgeted for this, but we try to give as much as we can. I've had that experience, and there was some struggle, but in the end of the day, I felt good that I was able to bring a smile to someone's face. But what really irked me was when a second collector shows up 2 minutes later, having come in the same card together, and knowing the game that I'm being a little
you're very clear right now.
Okay, and knowing the way it works, that had they come together, I would have divided up my gift, and now that they come separately, I have to give two gifts. And now, inside of me, I'm extremely frustrated. Why? Because I look at my checkbook, and the funds are depleting by the minute. And in my mind, I don't have enough money to share with this second collector. That state is a state of constriction and narrowness. Obviously, we have to be responsible with our funds. I get it. But at the same time, we also need to incorporate into our worldview that although on paper things don't look so great, there are possibilities out there. And if we have been sent this special Jew who's collecting for an important cause, then we need to consider that our resources are much broader, much more expansive than our knee-jerk reaction would assume. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Ezahu Ashir, who is one who is rich or wealthy? Hasameach b'chalkoi, the one who is happy with his lot. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Ayin Tova, one who has a good eye, is the one who is happy with his lot. So there's a connection here. What does it mean that the one who's wealthy is the one who's happy with his lot? The one who is happy is the one who's happy with his lot. The one who is satisfied, the one who is fulfilled is the one who's happy with his lot. In the end of the day, how is someone that is happy with his lot wealthy? What does that mean? He doesn't have more money in his pocket. The answer is that wealth isn't what we consider to be wealth. We consider wealth to be having a lot of money. You know, we measure wealth by how much money we have in the bank or how many assets we have. But the Mishnah over here is teaching us that that's not what wealth means. Wealth isn't a yes or no, a certain standard or a certain level isn't a certain level of asset. Wealth is a characteristic. Wealth means having resources. Wealth means having resources, having possibilities in your life. So let me say that, right? Wealth isn't how much we have. I mean, how much we have dollars and cents wise. Wealth is our level of resources or our ability to utilize resources. That's really what wealth is. Now, when someone has a lot of money, normally they have the ability to utilize a lot of resources. They have a lot of resources. I'm sorry. Wealth means the ability to utilize resources. When one has a lot of money, normally they can utilize a lot of resources. But in essence, you could have a person who has a lot of money, a lot of resources, but his mindset is that of one who's stingy and never satisfied with what they have, that they'll never actually utilize those resources. So in the end of the day, they're actually a pauper. But what defines whether one is actually wealthy, which means they have resources that they can use and possibilities that they can actualize. Word salad. Okay, let's start off again. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that? I'm sorry. What does it mean that if you are happy with your lot, you're wealthy? When you're happy with your lot, you're happy. You're satisfied. What else are you? You are appreciative that you're wealthy. The way we know wealth is how much money you have, how many assets you have, how many resources you have. This person doesn't seem to have many resources. This person, although he's really happy with what he has, he doesn't have the resources that the wealthy man has. So, I don't know, is it a word count, word salad? Let's get it a little clearer, a little more. Okay, succinct. Okay. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Ezehu Ashir, who's the one who's wealthy? Hasameach Mechelka, the one who is happy with his lot. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains that the one who has Ayin Tova is the one who's happy with his lot. So let's understand a little better what it means to be happy with your lot. Now, what is the Mishnah telling us here? One who is wealthy is the one who's happy with his lot? I can imagine the one who is appreciative, the one who is happy, the one who is satisfied is the one who's happy with his lot. But the one who's wealthy is the one who's happy with his lot. Wealthy means you have a lot of money. You have a lot of assets. Just because you're happy with your lot doesn't mean you have a lot of assets. From this Mishnah, we see an incredible lesson. That from the Torah's perspective, wealth is not about how much you have. It's about the possibilities. No, I'm sorry. Wealth is not about how much money or how many assets you have. It's about the possibilities you have in your life. Normally, one who has a lot of money and a lot of assets has a lot of possibilities in their life. But it's also possible that one who has a lot of money and a lot of assets has no possibilities in their life, because from their perspective, they see everything they have as never being enough, and that they always have to protect it and guard it. They can never use it for anything more. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we had the fortune of of living in an apartment building where we were on top of a family that had Kanai Nahara 13 children in an 800 square foot apartment. To us living in America, it sounds crazy. How can you have 15 human beings living under one roof of 800 square feet? Crazy. But I'll tell you, they were more wealthy, richer than many, many so-called wealthy people that we know. Why? Because in their mind, they saw the possibility of 15 people living in an 800 square foot home. Whereas we, in our minds, think we could barely fit 4 or 5 people into a home of 800 square feet. You could have all the assets in the world. But if from your perspective, you don't see the possibility in those assets, you're a pauper. And you could have very, very few assets, very little money, but you see the incredible amount of possibility and opportunity in those assets, you're the richest of the rich. That's the Ayin Tova perspective. I live in a world where the possibilities are unending. Yeah, it looks gloom, it looks bleak, doesn't seem like much is happening over here, much is possible. I'm going to still make something happen. Last night, a friend of mine told me an incredible story. The Chavetz Chaim, at the end of his life, wasn't so well, and it was very difficult for him to learn Torah the way he always learned Torah. He couldn't learn. People would see him walking around, almost talking to himself. And one person went over to listen in to what the Chavetz Chaim was saying. And he heard the Chavetz Chaim saying the following: on an apple, we make the bracha borei pri ha'etz. On a banana, we make the bracha borei pri ha'adama. On a piece of bread, we make the bracha hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. And this person explained to me what was the greatness over here, what was so unique and special. In my words, the Chavetz Chaim lived the life of Ayin Tova. That although his greatest passion in life, or one of his, that although one of his greatest passions in life, the ability to study Torah, had been withheld from him in his later years, he created whatever possibility he could to be able to learn Torah, even in the state that he was in. And if all it meant was just repeating over halachos that all of us know, that any young child knows, but it was his way of being able to connect to Torah study, that was enough. But you can imagine someone who merited to study Torah with a depth that we can't even imagine, that a depth that we can't even comprehend, and to have and to experience that sweetness of Torah to that extent, and later on in years not be able to engage in Torah on that level, he could have just thrown in the towel and said, what else is worth it if I can't study like I always studied? But the Chavetz Chaim didn't live like that. The Chavetz Chaim lived a life of possibility, and he searched and he sought out what level, what Torah study it would be possible for me to learn, to do at this stage in my life. Whatever Hashem has given me, this is where I'm at. What's possible for me at this point? That's the greatness. That's the greatness of the Chavetz Chaim. That's the life that is made accessible to us through Ayin Tova. This is the crossroads we stand at. Do you want to live a life of narrowness, of constriction, of confinement, where what you see is what you get? Nothing more, nothing less. And be and be, how do you say that? And be forced, not just forced, but not destined, not decreed upon, not, and be, whatever, and be forced to live, and be forced to live within those confines and limitations. Or we can choose to step out into this world and experience life through the lens of expansiveness, of opportunity, through the lens of expansiveness, opportunity, possibility, and see how much we can accomplish with whatever we have in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Let's take this lesson to heart and begin the journey. Maybe it means, you know, writing a couple insights in a journal every day. Or it means sharing these ideas with a friend. Or it means brainstorming with a friend to come up with new opportunities, new possibilities in our lives. But let's begin the process, because I guarantee that a life of Ayin Tova is a much more rewarding and fulfilling life than a life of Ayin Ra. How was that?
You put in about 26 minutes worth.
But I'm saying, that being said, how was it?